You're listening to Orange County's only community radio station, octalkradio.net.
There's an emerging philosophy of business leaders and entrepreneurs that giving back is more than simply being active and working for causes and nonprofits that you believe in. But this philosophy of these entrepreneurs is that the basic business model should support good works in the community and good causes. You can think of it as social enterprise, or you can think of it as entrepreneurship with a purpose. I've asked Kevin, founder of Art Collective, to join me today to discuss this style of entrepreneurship.
You're listening to Orange County's only station with critical business information, Critical Mass, with your host, Rick Franzi.
Welcome to today's episode of Critical Mass, the radio show. I am your host, Rick Franzi. This business talk show airs live on Tuesday and Wednesdays at 4 p.m. If you're listening to this show as a podcast, we would encourage you to consider listening live during our broadcast times, heard exclusively here on octalkradio.net. The goal of this show is to help you, our listening audience, make better business decisions. If you want to join the conversation today, sometime during the show, it's pretty simple. Find the community chat room section of the octalkradio.net's website. Log in, post your thoughts or questions. Paul, our producer, will bring them to my attention, and possibly I can work them into our conversation that I'm going to be having here with Kevin of Art Collective. And you can become a part of Critical Mass, the radio show, not just passively listening and learning, but actively participating and helping the show deepen its thoughts and its reach in the community. As I mentioned at the top of the show, I've been really interested and intrigued by a business model that many entrepreneurs, and yes, I will say maybe younger entrepreneurs, but not exclusively younger entrepreneurs, are using to build businesses that not only help the people that work for them, but also have a cause behind them that is inherent in the very business model. And so I've asked Kevin of Art Collective to be my guest today, not only to talk about his business and his experiences, but also his philosophy and worldview and how he's able to blend those elements into a successful entrepreneurial model. And so it gives me great pleasure to welcome Kevin to the show. Welcome to Critical Mass, the radio show.
Thank you, Rick. I really appreciate you giving me the opportunity to talk to the awesome listeners out there that are interested in learning more about what some of us people out there are doing on the daily. And I really want to thank you for calling me young. Sometimes when I'm out there, you know, people think I'm a kid. I don't even get young. So I thank you for that.
Well, I mean that as a compliment, because I think, as with many significant social movements that have happened in this country, many times it starts with the younger generations that teach the middle and older generations kind of a new way to think. And I think possibly a business model not too dissimilar from what you are doing at Art Collective is a learning for my listeners here in the audience. So why don't we start, Kevin, by asking you to talk about your experience and professional path that has led you to forming and starting Art Collective.
Well, I would take it back to, you know, when I was 4 years old, when I was, you know, eager to get out there and, you know, test the waters. And I grabbed a couple of lemons and, you know, took to a little lemonade press and made a couple of glasses and discovered that for every glass that I poured, I could get a couple quarters out of it, and in turn, I could maybe buy a couple Legos. So I started back then when I was a little kid, and, you know, as I grew, I started, you know, becoming fascinated with, you know, selling old goods that I own in a garage. And then from there, it was like, hey, maybe I should go check out some companies that have been around that are, you know, larger than just myself. So I started to work at an investment company known as Merrill Lynch. And from there, I started working in a, when was that? That was in high school. And then I worked for a real estate company another summer during my summer vacation in high school. And then from there, the summer following that, I worked in a vitamin company, actually pumping vitamins into little capsules, and that was a pretty interesting experience. And then from there, that same summer, I decided to go somewhere else and started working in the accounting side. And, you know, I've had many different little summer internships from, as I said, you know, from squeezing lemons when I was a little kid, to working in finance, to, you know, working in the accounting sections of different companies. And from all those, I think the biggest thing that I've taken was that, you know, all it took was one person's vision. They decided that, you know, they felt that they had the characteristics necessary to take the first step in starting their own company, and, you know, operating it the way that they felt could take them to the next level and start making them some money, and giving them lots of freedom in the way that they operate and that they communicate the way that they do things, whether it's, you know, selling beauty products, which is where I was doing some accounting for, or vitamins, or in the finance world. I think one of the coolest things that I learned from that was that, you know, in starting your own endeavor, you're free to do whatever you want and do things the way that you feel that they should be done. And as you continue to implement, you know, the different philosophies and characteristics you feel are necessary to propel your own business, you learn from those and you keep going forward.
So that leads us up to, Kevin, then, the inspiration for ARC Collective and why you thought the world needed a business, a firm, doing what your firm is doing. Can you explain that to us?
So in relating to our previous question, after I had finished one of my last summer internships, I was going into my last semester at USC, the University of Southern California in Los Angeles, and I was sitting on my couch watching TV, and the question dawned upon me, what am I going to do when I'm done with school? And there was three options. Option one was go ahead and continue working for somebody else. Option two was to take all the different things that I'd learned along the road and apply them to my own venture. Or option three was just, you know, just hang out and just chill. Of course, option three would have been the best, but I still haven't found that freedom bill. So I went with option two because I felt that I could create something that could give back to the community that helped fostered my own growth and helped create, you know, the persona that I am. And while at USC, I took a course that spoke about the large amount of students that live in LA that live under the poverty level, and as a result, their parents have to, you know, struggle every day to make ends meet, and as a result, they start to pursue a lifestyle that's alternative, and they lack support systems, but those alternative lifestyles give them support systems. So I think that those little learning experiences that I had at school in that class specifically really, you know, relate back to that day that I was sitting on the couch and I was like, wait, what am I going to do? And I really wanted to do something that gave back to the community and can help young students start moving towards their goals. And I happened to be speaking to one of my friend's moms who was a teacher, and I was like, you know, I really want to start a business that gives back to the community, but I'm not really sure exactly how I want to activate that idea. And she mentioned that there was tons of kids that went to school every day that didn't have adequate school supplies and backpacks. And as a result of those, they start to lose their motivation to go to school, and it really affects their self-esteem. And that really got me, and I started to relate back to that class that I took at SC, and I was like, wait, you know, if I could create a business model which I could help those students out and motivate them and start boosting their self-esteem to continue going towards their path, towards, you know, awesomeness, you know, maybe I could do something special. So I listened to her words that night, and I went home and just started, you know, researching the different numbers, and I found out that, you know, there was almost a million students in L.A. that go to school every day that live under the poverty level, and in fact, they don't have these adequate carriages and supplies to go to school. So I decided to create a backpack company for which every one of the backpacks that we sold, we give another backpack to an underserved student in the local Southern California area. And that's how ARCA Collective started. And from there, the giving side of the company has improved after our first two givebacks, in the sense that I look back at those two givebacks, which were a result of the gracious purchases of our of the consumers out there that have bought the backpacks. And when we gave away those backpacks, I went back and looked and said, wait, you know, my goal was to help these students and really motivate them and boost their self-esteem and enhance their educational experience. But I felt that what we were actually doing was starting to develop a sense of entitlement in the students, in that they felt that since maybe they were they lacked the monetary funds to attain goods, there was people out there that were just going to give them those goods. So instead, what I wanted to do is create a pseudo-currency for the kids and students, in that they have to actually earn the backpacks that we give them. So from now on, in order to get a backpack from our giving program, a student has to write a letter to their school about what they want to be when they grow up and how they will achieve that goal. In addition to that, they have to bring in recyclable materials like plastic bottles, which we then trade them a backpack for those goods, and eventually hope to be able to offer backpacks that actually were made out of recycled plastic bottles. But the whole idea behind that is to start developing values in these students and also show them that there are people out there that care about them, that do want them to succeed, and the purchases of other individuals actually made that giving of a backpack possible.
It is interesting how you have been able to learn from your experience and adapt the model to kind of create the ultimate or an improved outcome from, you know, what you initially started. I very much believe, Kevin, that there are certain lessons that can't be learned until you start doing what it is you're planning to do. And I think your experience with how you've modified the giving program with the students is a perfect example of one of those times when, even with the best intentions, you can't always anticipate the unintended consequences. And as an entrepreneur, you have to be flexible and figure out how to adapt your model to, you know, get closer to your desired outcome.
Totally. I think that that is very important, is in the business world, just being flexible and not, you know, just always wanting to stick in this small little idea you have, instead, you know, listening to other people, and also just, you know, being all right with changing. I think that that's the most important, is adapting and changing to the environment. And if you can do that, then you can continue to persevere towards that goal that you have of creating an operational business that is soundly run and does make a difference in our community.
We're going to stop for our first sponsorship break.
Okay.
When we come back, I'm going to ask Kevin Moshe Eddy to talk to us about his guiding principle that he is using to lead and grow ARC Collective. But first, here's a word from a sponsor.
Smart Business Network is a business-to-business multimedia company providing insight, advice, and strategy for C-level executives of fast growth, middle market, and large companies. As one of the nation's largest publishers of local management journals, under the Smart Business name, Smart Business Network publishes 19 regional print editions, presents dozens of large and small-scale business conferences and award programs, and produces a vibrant interactive digital media presence. For more information, visit us at www.sbnonline.com.
Welcome back to this installment of Critical Mass, the radio show. I am your host, Rick Franzi, and before the break, I said I was going to ask Kevin to give us an insight into his guiding principle. And Kevin, would you share that with our audience today, please?
I would say that the guiding principle that we have at ARC Collective, which I brought along with myself was the saying, let's make it happen. In that anything, any idea we have, anything that, you know, we want to implement into the business, any, you know, obstacle we want to overcome, just get out there and make it happen. All it takes is you just taking that first step forward and doing your best to make your goal happen. And for me, my goal was to give back to the community and help students that were younger than myself, that were on their journeys towards becoming, you know, entrepreneurs, helping them understand that they can get out there and make it happen and making business very tangible to them. And, you know, with our collective, my goal is to actually, you know, begin getting into schools and, you know, during our give backs, which are the days that we go into the schools and give back the backpacks that we give away as a result of our buy one, give one model. My goal is to go in there and actually speak to the students, talk to them a little bit more about the ARC Collective business model, talk to them a little bit more about sustainability, and also just talk to them more about how, you know, business is very tangible. It doesn't need to be grandiose. It is very small scale, and it is as small scale as you want it. And I think that understanding that is very important in today's day and age where we're constantly surrounded by media which speaks about these large brands and, you know, these huge financial, you know, documents that, you know, and accounting sheets that you see and income streams. And I think that it, you know, it really starts to scare potential entrepreneurs away from starting their endeavors. I actually was checking out your Twitter, what is it called? The Twitter feed. And I saw that in Microsoft's first year, their income was $16,000. And, you know, I mean, when you see a number like that, you're like, wow, you know, that shows you that you're kind of on the, you know, right path as an entrepreneur in the first year of your business, you know. And I think that for us, we're just trying to get out there and trying to make it happen, trying to make it happen as an entrepreneur, trying to make it happen as a business, trying to make it happen as individuals, as in the people within our collective. We're trying to get out there and, you know, make it happen for ourselves, make our lives, you know, make it for ourselves, and so that we can provide for others and help provide for students out there. And so that would be the little motto that I go by, is pick up your feet and make it happen.
I have to ask you to talk to our audience about how you selected the name for your firm, and then also your philosophy about how the firm operates and sort of is structured inside of ARC Collective. So start with the name and the significance of the name, and then help the audience to understand, if they were to walk into your business, what would the structure look like? What would the organization look like, and how is it run?
All right, so starting off with the name, ARC Collective, the first part, the A, the R, then K, stand for a vessel. The definition of an ARC is a boat. And myself, growing up in Southern California, I was always in love with just, you know, the coast and hanging out there. So I kind of took from the roots of that, and the ARC part stands for the vessel that I created to help give back to the community. And a collective is a group of individuals that identifies with, you know, something, and the collective, which, you know, ARC, the people that are part of the ARC Collective would identify with, is giving back to the community. But more importantly is there are people that want to give back to the community but come together and share their other unique aspects. And what I mean by that is that, you know, there's artists out there that love to give back to the community. There's chefs out there that love to give back to the community. There's, you know, financial CEOs that like to give back to the community. There's just a plethora of people out there that like to give back to the community. And we just wanted to create this collective community where, you know, the different individuals out there that do enjoy giving back could come together, share their stories. These backpacks were the root of how that, you know, that made that happen and made that possible. So that's what ARC Collective stands for. It's kind of interesting, though, because I remember, you know, when I was graduating college, and I was just like, man, you know, the name is so important. Everyone just gets so, you know, stuck in the idea of the name being so important. I mean, yes, it is important, but I just think it's just, you know, It's easy to find out there. So if you're out there and you're stuck trying to figure out the name, it's just as easy as driving down the street and looking at a couple of street names and, you know, deconstructing them or just applying them to what you're looking for. I just remember when I was graduating and just being stuck in that rut. But in regards to the, you know, operational side of our headquarters and what it looks like, it's very relaxed. It's very free-flowing. It's a warehouse space, to be specific. It's warehouse space, and we've turned the warehouse into a warehouse office. So the office part is actually what we use for, like, meeting areas, and we've got another small office that we call the ARC Collective Tea Room, which is a little room we set up where if you have a phone call you got to talk to some people with and want to be in privacy, you can go in there and hang out. We actually took these trunks that I, when I was driving down the street, I saw these trunks sitting on the side of the street that had been cut up, and they were just sitting there. I was like, wow, those look like seats. So there was four of them, and we happened to, you know, pick them up and put them in this little room, and we've decorated the room, and it's got this nice little earthy feel. So you go in there, and you can hang out, get on the phone, and it gives you that good feeling you need, and that good energy you need when making a phone call. And then there's another room that we use for our larger meetings. And then there's a editing room, and then there's the lobby. I mean, I can get detailed. So,
well, I'm wondering from an organizational perspective.
You
want to
know, is that what you meant, or do you mean like organizational wise, like the management structure?
Yeah, the management, leadership. How do you operate the business?
So the way the management structure works is actually when I seek out individuals to join on to the collective, I really focus on their strengths. When I have a meeting with them and ask them if they do want to, you know, position, I ask them what their strengths are, where they see themselves activating within the company, and where they see themselves being most productive and most, you know, their biggest strength of the company. So, you know, after finding out those different characteristics, I then figure out whether or not that fits into the current needs of ARC Collective. And in the stage that we've been in the past year, I was really focusing on just developing the brand side of the company and just developing our identity. So I was really looking for young individuals who were driven towards giving back to the community and that had different strengths, such as the arts, such as the art of, you know, writing, the art of using your hands to create, you know, cool wall displays and stuff like that. And also we needed some organizational help. But in finding those individuals, you know, I didn't have a set out job description. Instead, I was introduced to different individuals that needed a position, needed a job. And I sat down with them and said, hey, you know, what are you good at? What do you want to do? Because I personally believe that if you can empower the different individuals that are working within your company and develop a position that is special to them, they will be very inclined to pouring in as much of themselves as possible, and they really start to take a sense of ownership for the work. And that's what I want. I want people to feel that, you know, they are, you know, working towards a greater good and developing a really unique company. So in light of that, I also, in working at the company, for any of the individuals that work within our collective, every month we set different goals for them to work towards, and in doing so they have the freedom to budget their time so that they can meet those goals. And one of the things that's unique is that I always tell the guys in the company and girls that, you know, if you're done doing whatever you're done with, go ahead and work on your own side projects. And, you know, I think that that's very important, is allowing the individuals that work within your company to have freedom to do their own side projects, to, you know, bring themselves into the company. Another thing that I tell all the guys in the company, hey, you know, if you want to bring in art pieces from home, if you want to bring in your favorite, you know, poster, whatever it may be, I don't know what it is, but bring it in. I want the workplace to be very comfortable, and I want it to be very open. Every Wednesday we have a weekly meeting where everyone in the company gets together and we just talk about our experiences, share our experiences with each other, and kind of take, and what our takeaways were from those experiences, And I think that's very important within a young company, because since we're brand new to all this, you know, these different experiences, if we can share those with other, you know, with each other, we can really grow from that. So I try to create as open as a forum as possible, so that no one feels that, you know, if they do make a mistake, that they're the only ones making a mistake. How the organization works, is there a specific question you had in regards to that?
No, I thought you gave a very comprehensive answer, and I appreciate that, because I think it helps to understand not only the mission of the organization and the business model, but also the kind of leadership culture that you're building within our collective. So thanks for that, Kevin.
And it is difficult, and that kind of leadership structure is very difficult in that, you know, there are a lot of times where someone working within the company has a is like, wait, what am I supposed to do right now? You know, and when you have a lot of, because there are different individuals. For instance, there is an individual in the company that needs a little more structure, and there's another individual that needs, you know, doesn't want as much structure. And I think that that's important, is understanding the different psychological characteristics of each individual that you decide to hire on to your company, and understanding that. And that's one thing that I try to do the most of, is being very understanding of the different individuals within the company and making sure that I do my best to meet their needs just as much as, you know, they need to meet the needs of our collective.
Right. Well, thank you for that. And we're going to continue the conversation. And when we come back from this next sponsorship break, we're going to ask Kevin to talk about a current challenge facing ARC Collective and explain the ideas he's considering, or maybe they've begun to implement, in an attempt to mitigate this challenge. So we'll be back with Kevin, but first, here's a word from a sponsor.
If you are an Orange County business executive, this message is for you. Do you ever feel isolated with no place to turn for advice or feedback? Who holds you accountable to your commitments in your company? Where do you find the right resources to help you and your company grow? If you have these questions, then Critical Mass for Business might be the answer for you. Critical Mass for Business is committed to helping you make better decisions. These are groups of peers running businesses just like you, providing a great sounding board to test ideas and concepts, review plan and goals, and present issues and opportunities for discussion. The result is improved strategy, accountability, people, and execution skills. If you are interested in learning more, go to www.criticalmassforbusiness.com. and learn more about our executive peer group.
Welcome back to this edition of Critical Mass for Business. My guest, Kevin Moschietti of ARC Collective, is here talking about his business and the structure, the principles. We're also going to talk about a current challenge facing ARC Collective. Kevin, would you share that with our audience, please?
I would say that one of our biggest challenges right now would have to be production, in that we are producing a good that is made by the hand, and unfortunately hands do make mistakes, and as a result we, you know, sometimes get backpacks that are not suitable for the market release. And one of my goals is to have no defects, so that we're not wasting cotton and we're not, you know, wasting, you know, time spent on a boat and polluting the waters and all that transit time and that carbon footprint, and then all of a sudden you get some goods that aren't suitable to be released. And just really trying to figure out how to, you know, increase our quality control and make sure that we are delivering a good that is ready for the market every single time, and we don't have to have goods that never make it to the market. And of course we are finding ways to reuse the goods that aren't suitable for the market release, but my hope is to not have to even do that and just, you know, create 100% ready for the market goods, not have any defective rate.
So, Kevin, how have you changed your supply chain, if you will, or the review of the supply chain in order to kind of take some of the variability and the quality out of the handbags that are made for you?
Well, first, one thing that we have done is really increased the detailing of every step within our bag and what we expect, how it's supposed to look, and really becoming very concise. We have a huge manual that we put together that details each piece of that, and also a video that goes along with that, so that we can best communicate what our expectations are to the individuals that are producing our product. And I think that is very important, so that if there are some questions, they can easily be asked, and we can do our best to explain and elaborate on that topic, which the supplier may have not understood or may have just wanted some more details on. But I would say that, you know, production, you know, in my reading and understanding of other businesses out there that are in a production-based business, production is, of course, one of the biggest bottlenecks, because of the fact that there are so many different characteristics that are involved with it, that if, you know, even the smallest little hiccup happens, it has a huge domino effect on everything else.
Well, a lot of money can be spent or lost or wasted in a production/manufacturing process if there is an error that, you know, prevents the product from being sold in its current condition, even if it's something as simple as having to go in and do rework. I mean, that can be a tremendous cost, and it's nothing but waste to the organization to have to go back in and, you know, a second time do what should have been done right the first time.
Definitely. I mean, before I got into, you know, cut and sew, I didn't know about the realities of the fact that, you know, when you normally just go into a retail store, you walk in and you just think, you know, that's how every single one looks. And because you never hear about the other side of manufacturing, you never hear about the huge amount of waste that there actually is, that happens every day. And you never hear about the, you know, the amount of containers which the boxes are unloaded, and all those boxes are deemed unsuitable for market release, and they end up going to a shredder. So with our collective, my goal is so that we never have an example like that. And even though maybe we do have a couple boxes here and there that we can't release those goods to the market, what we actually did was, since our backpacks are made out of a 100% cotton canvas, and there are so many different artists within the company, we decided to take those bags that may have had, you know, a weak seam, because we do all of our quality control actually in Santa Ana, just to make sure that before they are sent out to different retailers and to different consumers that purchase our goods online, that they are ready to rock and roll for as long as, you know, someone wants to use our backpack for, because my goal is to not have any backpacks of ours end up in a landfill. So what happened was, with those goods that did have some, you know, less strong seams, or may have just, you know, been sewn incorrectly, we went and, since they're made out of canvas, we actually started painting on the backpacks, and we curated our first art show, which took place a couple weeks back at the camp in Costa Mesa. And we had 25 different artists from around the country, which each used one of our backpacks as a medium of expression and painted the bags. And we put together an art show, and all the money we made from each one of those pieces that were sold, we used to help benefit the Orangewood Children's Foundation. And it was an amazing event. People really enjoyed seeing how, you know, that everyday item that you use to take stuff to and from work or to and from class or on an airplane with you, how that was transformed into an art piece that you could hang on your wall, and you couldn't differentiate between that and, you know, the next piece on another wall. So that was one of the cool ways that we took what was a negative and made it into a positive.
You know, you had mentioned to me, and I hope it's okay for me to ask you about it, I don't think we've touched on it in detail here in the interview today, that you also have a longer-term plan, which is to attempt to get back backpacks after they've been used for a period of time.
Yeah, of course. That was another idea that we're working on, figuring out how the logistics of it will work out, but to have a backpack recycling program where, you know, somebody out there that no longer wants their backpack, they have the opportunity to send the backpack to us, and if we can send that back to a kid who needs one, of course we'll do that. If we can reuse those materials and make a new product with it, we'll do that. Or if we can't do either with it, we'll use that as a medium of art and resell it and use those funds to help fund a different organization in the community that's helping out in the educational side of things or the environmental side of things. So yes, a backpack recycling program is something we are working on, but just figuring out how the logistics of that are going to work is what the stage that we're currently at right now.
Kevin, can you share with the entrepreneurs and business owners who are in our listening audience today, what has been your experience that about as you explain your business model to others in the business community, are you finding any like-minded kind of maybe social, you know, entrepreneurs coming to your business to offer either assistance or advice or, you know, partnership because they kind of connect to your mission and your vision of the business?
I would say that as we get out there and do, you know, I speak at more events or connect with more individuals outside of the office, I do meet other individuals who are starting businesses that have a social focus or an environmental focus. Unfortunately, none of those meetings have culminated into a partnership or anything like that, but they've definitely cultivated into being great relationships where we can share experiences and work towards the, you know, the greater good of creating businesses that not only, you know, make money so that we can all survive and put food on our plates and pay for our bills, but also can help others while doing so, which is something that I'm very happy about. And it's great when I get out there and I do meet other individuals who have that idea that, hey, you know, we did start this business, but we also wanted to help, you know, help out the environment, but we also wanted to help out these students, you know, in Africa, but we also wanted to help, you know, fund the art program in this other after-school program. So it's really cool to get out there and see so many businesses implementing some form of social consciousness or environmental consciousness and giving back to those different facets that they do want to get involved with.
I saw a message from my producer that I'm sure you don't mind me sharing this right on the radio show,
no.
That when he and his wife adopted their daughter, she came with all of her belongings in a trash bag.
Wow.
Because she didn't have anything other than that to put her personal belongings in. So when people who are listening to the radio program today thinking, well, you know, backpack, how important could that be? No, I'm not diminishing what you do at all, Kevin. I'm just trying to kind of level set the audience a bit. There are individuals certainly here in the United States and also certainly in countries that aren't too far away from the United States who a new backpack, a reconditioned backpack, or a slightly used product like that could be significant not only to their self-esteem, but just the way that they feel about, you know, maybe, you know, connecting to a new family that they're. And so I see this, the work that you're doing on many different levels, and which is why I was excited to have you on the show today.
Definitely. No, that was one of the, you know, most eye-opening experiences for me was when I did get out there and started to help out with the different organizations that we partner our giving with, getting out there and speaking to the different people that were operating the organizations and talking to them and them mentioning, hey, you know, these students, they have never had a backpack of their own. They actually sometimes use, you know, plastic bags or grocery bags to get to class. And the amount of an impression you're going to make on them by helping them out with a new backpack is going to make an amazing impact. And, you know, hearing that was just an experience that I can't really put into words, and it was just something that, you know, when I hear something that just inspires you to keep going forward and hope that other businesses out there can adopt some form of giving structures, because I believe that businesses have a tremendous power in the fact that they make it happen. You know, they get out there and they make things happen. They don't wait around because they know that, you know, there's only 24 hours in the day, so make sure to, you know, savor those 24 hours and make sure you can make those, you know, make the best use of those in your ability. So yeah, I agree with you. It's amazing. I mean, the amount of students in the United States that are unfortunately underserved is huge, and I just think that there aren't enough, as many people out there that understand how big that number is. And if we can put together all of our awesome ideas and get out there and make it happen and really make a difference in their lives, you know, there's no saying how much of a difference we can make in the future.
Well, I agree. The psychologist Abraham Maslow, who one of the things he may be most noted for is the hierarchy of needs, mm-hmm. you know, the analyzing the human condition and kind of stratifying it to different, I think it was 6 levels of basic of needs that people have, leading ultimately to being a self-actualized person. One of the first psychologists to look at the human condition from the position of high-functioning people, not people with disorders or low-functioning people, trying to figure out why certain members of the community, of the society, were performing at a high level, so that moving psychology in the direction of emulating success, not trying to remediate challenges and issues. One of the things that he said later in his life is, if he had to go into a country and help the country solve its problems, he would bring entrepreneurs over any other discipline that he could bring, because in his experience, entrepreneurs would set about solving the problems in a way that was the most efficient. And I think I think about that worldview when I listen to you and businesses like yours that are really created not only to create a business, but also create integral to the business this idea of giving to the community and supporting, endeavoring, and doing something to a larger order than simply creating that. Not that there's anything wrong with creating an enterprise, but being able to make it a strategic element of the business model. And again, that's why I've been talking about this interview with you to a number of the people in my kind of community and my network. And I hope that they're listening with us today, Kevin, live.
Thank you, Rick. I really appreciate that.
We're going to take a quick break. It's the last break here on Critical Mass, the radio show. And then when we come back, I'm going to ask Kevin to share with us a past experience where he learned a valuable lesson, but that lesson came through a difficult experience. And so we'll be back with Kevin. But first, here's a word from a sponsor.
When you use the Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express, the rewards points can keep on multiplying. Buy 3 with triple points on airfare. Buy 2 with double points on gas and groceries. And a single point for pretty much every other dollar you spend on the card. Then, start choosing from over 1 million rewards to redeem all those points. Apply today and the annual fee for the first year is on us. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit AXPGold.com. The annual fee for the card is $175. See terms, conditions, and restrictions at AXPGold.com.
Welcome back to this edition of Critical Mass for Business. I am your host, Rick Franzi. We're having a thoughtful conversation this afternoon with Kevin Moschietti, and we're talking about Art Collective, not just the business itself, but the business model. And before the break, I suggest that I would ask Kevin to talk about a recent experience where he learned a valuable lesson, but it might have come through a little bit of a difficult experience. Kevin, do you have one of those that you could relate to our audience today?
Definitely. I would relate that back to the production issue. What happened was about a year ago when I was in full, you know, in sixth gear going towards building the business and developing product so that we could get out there and start to sell backpacks so that we could start helping kids in Southern California get backpacks in regards to the giving side. I went overseas to China and developed relationships with a factory so that we could, you know, start making product and bring them back to the States and start selling them. And I spent about a month there and developed an amazing-looking backpack and felt that it was in the ready shape to go to production. And at that time, though, I didn't know that, you know, though it may look good in you know, the pre-production stage, that doesn't mean that that's how things are going to look at the shipping stage where the bags are in a box ready to go. That was when we, you know, learned about the unfortunately, downside to production in that there are bags that don't end up looking like the bags you designed. And after that happened and we did receive some defective bags, that really opened my eyes and gave me a little reality check about the fact that, you know, just because someone promises you a good that's going to look like that, it doesn't mean like that the good is going to end up looking like that or performing in the shape or, you know, in the functionality that it was set out and designed to perform in. So it was a pretty valuable experience for myself in that I didn't expect to receive a lot of goods that were unsuitable for market release, and it was definitely devastating for me since we actually ended up missing the heart of the back-to-school season when those backpacks arrived. And I was kind of sitting there, and I happened to meet one of my first employees that works with Art Collective. He was one of my longtime friends, and I was like, man, like, what just happened? We just received a bunch of backpacks, and we're supposed to start sending these things out, and it's the back-to-school season right now. And, you know, we were sitting there, and it was boiling hot in Santa Ana, and we just went through a bunch of boxes. And I turned to Jeff, and he was just like, you know what? You know, don't worry, man. We'll figure out how to make it good. We'll figure out how to make things happen out of this. So from that, even though maybe, you know, we did get a lot of goods that, you know, weren't ready for market release, and we did miss a back-to-school season, I think one of the biggest things that I took away from that is that in business, it's very important to persevere. We're still around today. It's been, you know, 10 months since that first production run. We've learned a lot looking back on things. It's amazing to see how much we've grown as individuals, as a company, and I think that's very important, and is the way you measure success. I mean, a lot of times today, everyone measures success based off of how much, you know, money you're making every single day, and for us, you know, I think that has been very important in that we do need to make a lot of, you know, we need to make money so that we can function and can continue to help people out. But there's many other places that we've been very successful, and we've, you know, successfully been able to help 300 students gain brand new school supplies and backpacks to go to class every single day. And I think that, you know, is amazing. So I think that that production example is one that I like to allude to, just because you never hear about, you know, companies talking about the little hiccups they have along the road. And I think it's important for people to know that, you know, we face hiccups. Everyone faces hiccups. It's just about, you know, how you address them and how you learn from them and how you persevere forward and push forward.
Exactly. You know, it has been my experience here on Critical Mass, the radio show, Kevin, that when I ask that question, the answers that I can guess are these foundational learning experiences that fundamentally alter and improve the performance of the business. And sometimes, unfortunately, you have to go through those experiences to learn the lesson. In my peer groups and the work that my partner and I do with our customers here in Orange County, we like to say experience is the best teacher, but sometimes there are business lessons that are best learned vicariously from the experiences of others. And hopefully your discussion there about QC and product will help others maybe in their planning stages to recognize the risk and then mitigate that risk by virtue of your experience. So thanks for sharing it, Kevin. I appreciate it.
You're right on it.
I would last thing that I'm going to ask you to do for me here today on Critical Mass, the radio show, is to help people to find your company online. Give us information.
You can check us out at www.arkcollective.com. That's arkcollective.com. And check out our blog. We've always got really interesting information that we're posting on there. And you can also, you know, hear about our everyday experiences through our Twitter, which is just Arc Collective, ARK Collective, and on Facebook as well. We love hearing from individuals within the community and just hearing their experiences. We actually have a section on our blog called The Weekly Feature where we share the different stories of individuals within our community with the different members of the Arc Collective community and just have a little one-on-one chat just like we're having right now. And we share that with the rest of the community. And kind of just, you know, show that we're all just out there having a good time and trying to make it happen.
Kevin, I appreciate your time preparing to be a guest on the radio show, and I appreciate the content of the conversation that we had today. And so I just want to say thank you for being a guest and kind of welcome to the Critical Mass business community.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it, and I look forward to hearing many awesome things from all of the Critical Mass following and just staying in the know.
Have a good day.
Thank you so much, Richard. Appreciate
Bye.
It.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, interesting entrepreneur with a interesting business model, and one that I think hopefully if you're listening to this show live, maybe you can reflect on it now. If you're listening to this show as a podcast in the future, maybe tell some other people to take a listen to it, because I think this business model and this idea of embedding good deeds in the inherent to the business model's strategic underpinnings is really a powerful concept. And so I'm glad that Kevin Moschietti would be on the show today and share that experiences that he's had with his young and growing company. You know, on this radio program, my business partner Doug Gefeller and I really believe that it is a virtual peer group where you, from investing the time to be a guest on listening to our guests on the radio show, hopefully get something that you can use to improve the performance of your business. That happens every month in our peer group meetings, where members help each other improve their performance of their business through being in a collaborative community. If you'd like to learn more about that concept, then I would encourage you to check out our website, which is www.criticalmassforbusiness.com. All the words are spelled out. F-O-R is for criticalmassforbusiness.com. So this is host Rick Franzi saying, until the next time we have a chance to speak, here's hoping that all of your decisions moves your business in a positive direction.
You've been listening to Critical Mass, the radio show, only on OCTalkRadio.net.